Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Now stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy, and God bless.
All right. I've been going through a wonderful series of spiritual warfare. Powerful Church Arising. This is the final teaching on it. Of course, we can go on forever in spiritual warfare. But today, the title of today's message is In This Together. In This Together. And the first message we talked about, seeing, believing, and doing. I'm going to do a little review before we get started today. And the first message, we talked about seeing, believing, and doing. And spiritual warfare it has to be taught, because you have an enemy that you can't see. And he wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your life. And so with this enemy that you can't see, we have spiritual weapons that we can combat him with. But what use is a weapon when you don't know how to use it? Or what use is a weapon when you don't know you have the weapon available for you to use? Amen. And so as we've been taught the last couple of weeks on these weapons and on his tactics. And one of the tactics that I believe the enemy uses on believers or his church is he come in the form of words. Teachings, conversations, all right, dialogue, all right. He's not trying to come as one that has horns and a pitchfork trying to boogle you. Amen. Even though we do think something in our closet when we're 12, amen, and it probably is. But we don't realize that he also... The number one way I believe he transferred his nature and his character is in the form of words, in the form of a conversation. It's through a mentality. It's through a thinking. It's through a process. Whoever controls the mind controls the body. So he wants control of your body, all right? Because the only way to get things done in this world is through us, through people. People are the gateway to this world, to this seen world. Amen, because he's the God of this world, and it's the enemy. He wants to control your thinking. He wants you to get in response to this world and things that go on in this world from his character, from his nature, the enemy. And also God. God wants to control your thinking. He wants to control you. Amen. And so what we learned last week is we have to get offensive. We're no longer the victim. God, Jesus, has given us the victory. He's given it to us. He's given us the victory. And he's equipped us, or it's available for you, all the weapons that you need to respond to his tactics, to the enemy's tactics. Jesus and Father God is not an illegitimate father. He take care of his. Amen. And he makes sure that you get equipped with what's needed to proceed in victory in life. All right? And if I don't see victory in my life, these things we have to question sometimes. If I don't see victory in my life, then I have to question, what am I doing wrong? Is it something that I'm missing? Is it some knowledge that I don't know of, Father? And so I don't blame God for my mess ups and my screw ups. I always look to me. Because since he's perfect, he's a perfect father, then it's his job to equip me and to provide for me. And it could be provided already, we just don't know it. And it is through the cross, but we be looking for the answer in another way. All right? We need more money. We think that's the answer. And money do say, if you had more money, you can do more. You can help people. And we have, and he have, the enemy makes this world the answer. And your answer is something that you might not think it is. Maybe it's information. Amen. The number one way I teach my kids is through what? Information. Teaching them through words. And also, I do it in front of them. I live in front of them. Amen. And so this is the examples. God has not left us as orphans. Amen. He loves us. And in today's message, In This Together, which is also a part of this spiritual warfare series. Amen. Ephesians, turn to your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Oh, I forgot to mention, how many of y'all are repping your team? Colors A. Okay, we got you. I think I'm feeling led to say, Roll Tide. And by the Spirit. Amen. But represent your team. This team colors day. Amen. And we want to represent. Praise God. But most of all, we represent Jesus. But we, in the spirit of team, this message is entitled In This Together. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Now, I will be reading from the New Living, but it's on the screens at ESV. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will be influenced. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does his own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this wonderful church, these wonderful people, these your people, Lord God. This is your church. Lord, I pray you teach them. You give them what they need, Lord God. And I will be careful to give you the praise. I'll be careful to give you the glory, Lord. You are a good Father. And I receive your love right now, Lord God. Teach me how to transfer this love to your people in the form of teaching. Lord, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're in this together. Praise the Lord. There is power in unity. We are on the same team. Amen. We're not against each other. There's power in unity. All right? You are never my problem. You are not my enemy. The devil is. And I found out I can't be gracious to a devil. I have to be gracious to you. All right. And the enemy I can't play with. Why? Because he ain't playing with me. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Amen. We are a family. We're supposed to have each other's back. We in this together. Part of spiritual warfare is so important that you get connected to a body of believers. Amen. And we all have the same goal in mind. We all have the same love from the Father to love one another. And it's amazing how God can take people who have different passions and different desires. And, you know, we all have different, you know, intellects and different upbringings and bring us all together for one goal and one purpose. That is amazing to me. That is a perfect God doing what he does. Amen. The Bible doesn't teach that you are the body of Christ by yourself. It teaches that we are collectively together are the body of Christ. Amen. So we need each other. And part of spiritual warfare, it's very important. It's very important. If you ever gonna whoop this enemy that you can't see, you must get around the body of Christ. You must get connected to the body of Christ and start functioning like God wants you to. Amen. The enemy wants to isolate you. He would love for you to get isolated and by yourself and get away from your source of power and your source of energy. I heard an analogy one time. A fire is, you know, you get a fire going, a big fire, and you got the kindles. It's kindling real good. And everything is burning and hot. But if you take that coal and go sit it outside by itself, one coal from the fire and sit it outside by itself, it'll burn for a little bit. It'll stay on fire for a little bit. But just time by itself, time just by itself, it can grow cold away from the body or the flame. Amen. And if you've done any type of camping and any type of, you know, fire burning, you have to keep adding to. Amen. You have to keep adding wood to the fire. And that's why the church must grow. That's why people must be added to the body of Christ daily. This flame will keep going if you connect to the body. Amen. The enemy wants to isolate you. And I've known when people get isolated, that's always the devil. I don't care how much they say it's God. It's always the devil to isolate yourself away from your source of power. Amen. And if we are going to fight effectively with spiritual weapons, I believe the church itself, the body of Christ itself, is an unstoppable force that many neglect. Amen. That many don't see as a weapon that can ward off your enemy. Amen. Being a part of the body of Christ, being connected to the body of Christ on a consistent basis. Amen. Because when I used to come to church, and I still go to church, I ain't never missed church, man. I never just stayed home from church. Amen. That was just me. That's just how I was. I had to get to the church. It was my safe haven. Dealing with them devils at work all week, man, I had to get to the church. Amen. It was two things that was going to happen once I got here. Either somebody was going to help me or I was going to help somebody. Amen. Either you're going to be looking to love people and be a part of people's lives, or someone's going to be looking to connect with you and be a blessing to you. Amen. It's a give and take situation. And being a part of the body of Christ is so important. We are better together. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. We are better together. You are not by yourself. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So, as we see right here, it's so important if we're going to be a part of the body of Christ, we have to realize what brought us together. Love. Some of us wouldn't have relationship with each other if it wasn't for Jesus loving us. This is our point of relating to each other is Jesus. I probably never would know Jack if it wasn't for Jesus and his church. I'm telling you, if I was in the world and I seen Jack, I'd be like, okay, Jack. All right, then. And we work together. You know, you got them coworkers that you just wave at and you never really talk to. Amen. It is true. But what brings us together? Love. Love. I probably wouldn't be in fellowship with you, Sister Kim, if it weren't for love. Why? Because my agenda and my motive is different when I was in the world. But what holds, what brings us together? What holds us together? It's got to be love. Amen. It's so important that we put on love. And we keep it on. Make that the reason why you stay together. The reason why you came together in the first place is the reason why you stay. Amen. So you can only go as high as your motive. You can only go as high as your motive. What's your reason? Amen. It's love while we all in this building together. It's love is what's going to hold us together. Amen. And if we have to continue to love one another. And what does that look like? It looked like Jesus on the cross. It looks like when someone is probably not having a bad day or they missing from church, we will want to reach out to them and see, where you been? I love you. Amen. If someone come to church and they not feeling too good, they sick, or they not having a good day, amen, there is an allowance for that. The Bible says make allowances for each other's faults. That means give room for some mess up, amen. And how many of y'all know the pastor needs some too? Amen, I need some. Amen, I need some. Can I get my allowance this week? Amen. Because I give allowances all the time. Can the pastor get a little bit? Amen. The Bible tells us, though, to make allowances for each other's faults. This is what holds us together. Think about your family. Your family. You know all your brothers and sisters mess up. Amen. You know your daddy mess up for sure. Mama didn't mess up. It's impossible to hang around somebody and not see some type of mess up. Amen. So what has to be applied? Love. Forgiveness. Tender mercies. All new day after day. Give it. Praise God. If we receive, whatever you receive from the Lord, it's so imperative that we must practice giving it. It's imperative. God will hold you accountable to give what you receive from him. We are just not supposed to be welfare Christians. Just receive, 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 and never giving it away. Amen. I was taught years ago that the Dead Sea, how many of y'all heard of the Dead Sea? That means everything in it is dead. There's no fish that are alive. And I asked my pastor, why everything in the Dead Sea dead? Well, he said, because it got an entrance with no exit. It receives, but it don't have nothing to exit. Like a river. A river continuously flows, right? It's constantly streaming and flowing. It's receiving and it's also giving. Amen. And a river is full of life. It's full of thriving creatures. Amen. And also the ocean. But I advise you to be like a river. Whatever you receive, give it. Amen. Don't just receive, 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 because we can get into that mode of thinking that God just loves me, and then we never transfer that love to one another. Amen. And this is what holds us together. It's what binds us all together. Praise the Lord. And love is a spiritual, is a force to be reckoned with. The enemy wants to divide and conquer, and love keeps us together. Amen. Love keeps us together. Now, I've noticed that as I start growing in the Lord, there's one other method or thing that we must do within the body to help us stay together. And go to James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. Is anyone among you afflicted, ill, suffering, evil? He should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Is anyone among you sick? He should call the church elders, the spiritual guys, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer of faith will save him who is sick. And the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in working. All right, we see right here what I want to bring out. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults. That word confess means to admit to. When you're wrong, I'm wrong. Amen. Admit it. Learn to be honest with each other. Amen. I'm not out to get you, you all. I'm not going to get you. I'm not here to spank nobody this morning. Praise God. But I believe we should be able to admit when we're wrong. Being honest, having an honest relationship with one another. Look, I'm not this person who hurt you in the world. Amen. Listen, you can be honest with me. We can be honest with one another. I know some churches where we grew up in, you hear all this backbite and, you know, if it wasn't for the people, you know, I would go to church. But the people make up the church, amen. And learning to forgive and having an honest relationship with the people is so important, to have an honest relationship. And it says right here to confess to one another or admit to your faults and your sins. And let's bring out something here. Jesus taught me years ago, if I don't pray for you, I don't love you. I'm broke, struggling financially, people thriving. You know, they start in business. I see people starting businesses. It's looking like they thriving. And you know, I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be envious of them. I don't want to be, but I was, because inwardly I'm like, man, what's so special about them? And then Jesus taught me. He said, if you don't pray that their business succeed, you really indirectly don't want them to succeed. I said, Lord, no. So he told me to start praying that they succeed in their ventures, in their business ventures. Because if I didn't, and that's how I got rid of that envy, jealousy, that just was creeping up just naturally. I was trying to stop it. I didn't want it to happen, you know? And it was coming from just witnessing the Lord taking them up. And the Lord prompted my heart. He said, if you don't pray that they succeed, you indirectly want them to fail. I said, Lord, you got to help me. So I start praying. And I said, Lord, I bless them in their business ventures. Lord, I pray that they be successful. And these are people that don't like me, and they're in the church. We're not best buddies, amen. Amen. We don't really, you know, fellowship like that. But he said, I still want you to pray that they succeed in their business ventures. And then he taught me, if I don't pray for you, I don't love you. You know, because Jesus praying for us, right? He interceding on our behalf constantly at the right-hand side of the Father, constantly, right now. And then the Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing. Why? Because we should have many reasons to pray. I'm praying for your success. I want you to succeed. I want you to be successful in the things that God has called you to do. Amen. I see my brother struggling. Pray for him. It does no good talking about him. Amen. Pray for him. Wish them well. The Bible teaches us to bless them that curse us and pray for them who despitefully use us. How many of y'all know what that feel like? You know they using you. And then the scriptures teaches us to pray for them. Pray for them. And what is he doing? He's teaching us to be like him. Or be like he does you. What he's been doing to you for years. And this is the unstoppable force the enemy can't come against. He can't come against us being for each other, loving each other. He can't whoop that. Amen. So I am never your enemy. I want to see you succeed. And please pray for me. Please pray for me. If you love me, pray for Pastor Jasper. Amen. I need prayer too, you know. If you don't know what to pray, just say, God, let your will be done in Pastor Jasper's life. Just pray God's will. Amen. And it'd be better if you just pray in tongues, but I mean, if you don't know. Amen. Because I do you also the same. I pray for you. Amen. And this is one thing that we must learn to do in the body of Christ is to be for each other and not to come against. And I know when people get in them, they start obeying the devil. We can't help them people. Amen. We can't help people that start obeying the devil. We can love them and intercede for them. Amen. But I can't really help them. All right, this is so good. I can only love you as much as you let me. I can only love you as much as you let me. Amen. And the same with any of your relationships. All right? Because we could have walls up of distrust, amen, and unforgiveness that can stop us receiving the love that we have for each other. Amen. And another important weapon in the body that we must learn to use. This is so good. You must learn to use your pastor. Now, I use my pastor. Why? Because he's a gift. He's a gift from God in the form of a person. And how do you use your pastor? I use my pastor greatly. I mean, I used him. He didn't even know I was using him. I was using him up. And he couldn't get used up, but he's a gift sent from God. And you must take advantage of this gift and not fight it, right? So this is how I would use my pastor. I would go home and pray and ask Jesus to help me. Lord, teach me. I don't know in this. And then I look at my pastor's mouth while he was speaking and be looking for the answer. Now, I never told my pastor. I never told him. I never told him what I needed and questioned him. I just would look for God to speak through him. And he did every time. He did every time. I remember when the reason we're in Huntsville, let me give you a short story. The reason me and my wife are in Huntsville, she graduated in 2005, A&M. And with a biology degree, and she was going to move forward in being a chiropractor, amen? But there are no schools here in Huntsville, amen? So we would either have to move to Georgia or Florida, amen? So we got on our knees together in our one-bedroom apartment, and we got on our knees, and we asked God, Lord, what should we do? Should we move? Should we go? And this is what I mean by using the gifts that God has for you, that's sent for you, only available through the church. Only available through the church. It's not available at home. It's available collectively as a body. Amen? And we got on our knees, and a pastor threw a revival and invited a lady called Yvonne Capehart. She's from Pensacola, Florida. And we were sitting back over there. I mean, the room was full of people, and we was in this church. And me and my wife sitting back there. And at the end of the message, she called us out. She said, y'all two, come up here. And then we stood right here. This was about 13, 12 years ago, 2005. So about 9, 11. So we stood right here, and she was telling us, she said, in Huntsville, she said these exact words. She said, you all would stay in Huntsville, and you would minister to a lot of young men. She was talking to me. You would minister to a lot of young men and show them the way. And then she talked to my wife. She said, I see three children. And this was before kids. She said, I see three children running around you. And she said, you are a minister to a lot of young single mothers. And this was 11 years ago. And so from that night, I mean, a lot of stuff transpired, you know. We gave our last $7. And then that night, people just was coming up, just giving us money, just giving it to us, man. It started a trend. It just blessed our socks off, right? So we said, okay, God, all right, you're trying to tell us what to do. But then we still weren't convinced. Yeah, we still weren't convinced. So we went to, my wife is from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Fort Wayne, Indiana. We went to visit her parents. And it came around Sunday. I said, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to church. I don't care where we at. And we started looking. So we went to like three services. On the third service, and because they kept closing, you know, and they was at the, we went to one service, they just let out. We went to another service, 15 minutes, they just let out. Then we went to another service. Yeah. But what was wonderful about it is when he called us out the back and he told us to come up, the pastor did. And he said, come on up here. And he told us the exact same thing. He said, in Huntsville, y'all gonna stay. He said, I know where Huntsville, and you gonna stay in Huntsville. And I said, wow. I guess we know what to do then, huh? So my wife put her career on the back burner, and we started raising our children. And he taught me to not force her to work, but take care of the kids. And I had to trust the Lord to teach us how to be. Amen, to take care of us. And then I would use my pastor, and this is what it means by using your pastor. I would look for my pastor to speak on the answers I've been asking God in privately. Jesus said, if you seek me in private, I reward you openly. Amen. And I would use the pastor. I would use this gift because it's not going to hurt me that you use me because I'm made like this, right? It's something that I do very easily. Amen. I believe if I sit and talk with anybody, and no matter who it is, and if they want to hear God, they'll hear God when I speak. That's how confident I am. And not just in me, but just who God created me. If you come around me, you're going to hear from God. Amen? You're going to hear from God. Especially if Jesus loves you. Amen. He is going to speak to you. He is going to give you answers. Amen? But it's our job. Excuse me. It's our job to do what you hear. What if I just I just ignore God? And I say, no, nah, man, we finna go get this money. My wife will cry, but I'm gonna ride on this coattail as long as I can, right? Man, that's, you know, she's smart. She's a beautiful wife. But our agenda was doing what God wanted us to do, not what was best for our career. And I'm not against your career, but I advise you to do what God wants you to do. Amen. And when you hear God, he's giving you the answer to your problems. Go do it. It would be very wise to go do, because God is perfect. He is so smart. He is so perfect. And he loves you so much. Amen. If I taught my son, I tell my son, I'm teaching him about fire. I'm teaching about the stove. And I turn on the stove and I said, son, that eye is hot. Do not touch it. Do not. No, you will get burned, right? I leave the room. I hear him scream. right? I come back in the room, I see his hand all red, and he's like, ah, it's about to fall off. And I'm like, what did you do? He touched the fire. Amen. Is that my fault? I tried to do everything I can might even put my hand near it and say, I hot. You can see it boil in the water. You can see it cooking stuff. It's burning stuff, bruh. Do not touch. And he touched it anyway. Is that my fault? Amen. Through the church, God has provided answers for you in your life. And there's many that need to be a part and connected to the body for answers for their life. Amen. Because if he's a good father, he must teach me. The Bible says that man that don't discipline his child, don't teach his child, don't even love him. And we don't have an illegitimate father. Amen. He's not left us as orphans. But this is the other half of you allowing God to love you, is to go do what he say. Because he knows what's best for your life. And 6 months down the road when we're crying, wondering what's going on, the answer could have been provided through the church. Amen. Or it was provided and we didn't go do it. This is the other side of spiritual warfare that we must grab. Because the enemy can't do what he wants to with you. Amen. He can't do it. He's been defeated by Jesus. And we must live in his victory. And we must accept God's love for us through the church. And not just through me, but us collectively being together. Because you are not alone. Whatever you was deficient in the world, God makes up for it in the spirit. Amen. I love my mama. I love my daddy. But wherever they left off in adding to or supplying my need, spiritually, physically, amen, especially spiritually, if they didn't give me everything I need, God will make the difference. He will put people in your life that's father figures. He will put mothers in your life. He will put brothers and sisters in your life that you didn't have growing up and you know you needed it. Amen. He will make sure you get what you need. Amen. Even though I love my father, I love my daddy, but he only took me so far. And my pastor took me the rest of the way. And I'm still getting taught. Amen. But he's not leaving me as an orphan. Amen. And his mother's in the church that want to be a mother to you. They want to be. You are the kid they never had. Why? Because he's making sure that she getting what she need and you getting what you need. And we are the body of Christ. We're a family. And if you allow God to love you through the church, ain't nothing the enemy can't do. He can't say, well, my mama wasn't always there. He's giving you another mama here in the church. Well, my daddy wasn't there. No, he's giving you a father figure right here in the church. I'm telling you, he'll never leave you as an orphan. You won't have an excuse. Amen. All the young sisters in the church, all the young women, all y'all my sisters, the older women, they like mothers to me. That's what the Bible tells us to look at them like. Amen. So, and the young men is my brothers. And the older men are like father figures to me. Amen. So we keep it straight. I never want to go to bed with my sister. That's crazy. Ain't no way I want to holler at my sister. I want to protect her. Amen. I want to be there for her. I'm big brother in the church. Amen. That's how I used to be. I was big brother. As soon as they brought somebody to church, I'm like, who this dude? Who you, bro? Come on over here. Let me holler at you right quick. And we had to protect them, too. I remember one time, a female got saved. She was my sister. She got saved, and she wanted to separate from my boyfriend. And he come to church talking about, no, I don't want no separation. Guess who had to be there? Big brother. She don't want you no more, bro. Guess who had to be there for? I did. That's my sister. Amen. We a family. Praise God. And I had to be big brother to her. Why? By the Spirit. It was protection for her because she was connected to the body. Amen. And it's protection for you. It's weapons and things that's being blocked forever happening to you because you are connected to the body. And we are in this together. You don't have to be by yourself. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to go take your problems by yourself. You're not in it by yourself. God is making sure you're being taken care of. Amen. We have to allow him to do that in our lives. In closing. Amen. In closing. We have to allow him to do that in our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Again, there's many facets of the church. There's many ways that God used the church. I'm so sorry. There's many ways that God uses the church to ward off the enemy. And I'm just hitting on a couple of them, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. This is the last verse we're going to be going to. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and give it light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Listen, this is emphasis. This must be emphasized. I'm sorry, Lord. The church or the church house or us collectively come together represents light. Amen. Light and darkness can't cohabitate. It's my responsibility to give you light. The Bible says the entrance of thy word brings light. Amen. It's my responsibility as a pastor to bring light. Amen. And two things happen with darkness and light when light shines. It has to flee. Amen. It has to flee. Light and darkness can't cohabitate. And this church is a lighthouse. Amen. It is here to shine on them dark areas of your life. And we are here for that. Amen. And so I found out something about light. And I know y'all all can relate to this, especially in relationship matters. Light have to leave. Darkness have to leave light. But I found out something, that if you don't allow darkness to leave you by being in the light, you leave the light with your darkness. Amen. It get a little too uncomfortable. So we must allow, just shine, just be under the light. Don't care. Amen. Let that darkness leave you. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it don't feel good. But let it leave. Amen. And some of y'all, just being a part of the church, man, just being a part and being busy in the church, getting connected to the church, things done left you without even knowing. Darkness just done flee. And guess what we want to do? We want to take this light to your house. And we want to take this light to your house. Because at your house is what the Bible says, we are the light of the world. We are salt and light. So you must gain the light here and take it home and be the salt. Light is meant to shine in darkness. That's why them coworkers crazy at work. Amen. Light is meant to shine in darkness. That's why your neighborhood might not be, you know, the neighbors might not be so loving. It's you there. You're supposed to start the loving. You're supposed to start the initiation because you are the light of the world. They're supposed to be dark. Amen. And we must take this home. And one way we take this home is through what's provided here at the church. Now, this is the anointed oil that we've been praying over. And this is available for you today on your way out in the foyer. This is available. Follow these instructions and anoint your home with this anointed oil. Amen. We want you to bring this light, take this light home. Plead the blood of Jesus over your walls. Plead the blood of Jesus over your kids and over your windows. And it's instructions here for you to anoint your home with this blessed oil. I've been praying over this oil, and you can take this home. And you have these instructions on available for you in the foyer, and this oil, this anointed oil. And we must take this home, and we must drive out things in our home also. Because the enemy, he's just not going to say, oh, they're just sweet old Christians. I'm not going to bother them. Their door is locked. I must I guess I must stay out. No, he's going to come in. Amen. He don't recognize locks, and he don't care if you're a Christian. Amen. He's counting on you not to know what you should know so you can send him on the run. He's counting on you being ignorant of the truth. He's counting on it. Because we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. And we must apply this. Apply this. It's available for you. I'm telling you, it's benefits in doing what the church and what God has provided through the church. Amen. It's benefits. It's great benefits. And in closing, if something was said that caused you to spark and think, that the things that are transpiring, I'm not saying everything's just going to be peace and cream, but I believe some things get eliminated out of your life just by being connected and getting involved and inviting me as the pastor into your life. We are in this together. We are in this together. You are not alone. You don't have to fight by yourself. And some things you must learn as a pastor and as a heart for God's people. God has put us here, people like Pastor Angela and Pastor Huey and all the pastors of Restoration Church. We're commissioned by God to do what God called us to do. And it's great love that God has for his people.
That's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We hope you are encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has touched and impacted your life through our church, we would love to hear your testimony. So please email us your story at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.